verse number 15. I don't know exactly how long that I will be tonight. Of course, when I say that, I end up being longer than usual, so maybe I don't need to say that. this morning, I got to tell y'all a funny little thing happened in Sunday school. So in Sunday school, we have, I love my Sunday school class, love my kids, but they're parachuters, a lot of them. You okay? Don't throw nothing at me, guys. My preacher just called us all out in the whole church. And that's okay. I love my parachuters. You're paratroopers. Y'all are the guys that come in. But I always try and fellowship for a little while, and then we'll have usually my lesson is about 20, 25 minutes. And that's just how I structure the class. And so this morning I said, I got done. I had done like 20, 21 minutes. I said, wow, I got done 21 minutes. And Luke said, just keep that in mind. My Luke said, just keep that in mind this morning when you're preaching. And then he looked around the table and said, y'all were all thinking it. I was just the one bold enough to say it. So I appreciate that. I'm glad he's got his daddy's sense of humor. Amen. Amen. His mama's pretty rough too. Y'all just ain't heard her talk much. All right. 2 Kings 5, verse 15. We're continuing to look at Naaman, and we'll see how long it goes tonight under the Lord's direction. The Bible says, and he returned to the man of God, he and all his company, and came and stood before him. And he said, behold, now I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Now therefore, I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant. But he said, as the Lord liveth, before whom I stand, I will receive none. And he urged him to take it, but he refused. And Naaman said, shall there not then, I pray thee, be given to thy servant 2 mules burden of earth? For thy servant will henceforth offer neither burnt offering nor sacrifice unto other gods, but unto the Lord. In this thing the Lord pardon thy servant, that when my master goeth into the house of Rimmon to worship there, and he leaneth on my hand, and I bow myself in the house of Rimmon, when I bow down myself in the house of Rimmon, the Lord pardon thy servant in this thing. And he said unto him, go in peace. So he departed from him a little way. May the Lord bless the reading of his word tonight. I want to look at this lesson, or these lessons concerning Naaman, and this may be the last one that we look at, because we get into the servant's sin and punishment after this, and it doesn't really focus on Naaman anymore. But I want to take a look, start out verse number 15. The Bible says, and he returned to the man of God, he and all his company, and he came and he stood before him and said, behold, now I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Now therefore, I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant. So Naaman, the same man who was filled with anger and frustration that God had told him through the prophet Elisha to go down there and dip 7 times in the River Jordan, and the one that got so upset and didn't want to do what God's prophet had told him to do, then he is now coming back to that same prophet, and this time as he comes back to him, he's filled with gratitude. He's humble, and he's confessing that there's only one God. He's not saying that there's... See, you had to understand that something about the Syrians. They had many gods, as many other people outside of even as Christianity. They had many gods, and they believed in many things. I remember the first time I met a missionary to India. He and I were talking about the religions and Hinduism, they had at this time, this was 20-something years ago, they had recorded over 330 million different idols that they had established as gods in Hinduism. And those were things that were recorded, that were documented. I'm glad that I don't have to worry about offending one of 330 million different gods, because there's one God, amen? And so when you have people who have a view of polytheism, they believe there's many gods and many things that they can worship, and there are many things that they can worship, but really there's only one true God that is worthy of worship, and that's what Naaman found out there when he got obedient and did what God had told him to do. So he's filled with gratitude, he's humble, he's confessing that there's only one God, and the mercy of his cure from leprosy affected him more than the miracle did. He is more excited that something miraculous has happened than he is about the miracle itself. Amen. He's excited to know that there is a God, and this God is real, and this God has all the power. There is not a doubt in my mind that there had been other times that he had called on the name of some other God, and that God had not answered. He even goes ahead in verse number 18 and mentions that he's going to go back to the house of another God with his king, and he's going to bow before that other God. And he says, hey, you just go ahead and ask the Lord to forgive me of that, and that the Lord pardon me of that thing. So he had that idea of many gods in his mind, and that idea was wrong. It took that little servant girl being used of God, him going through what he did, dipping seven times in Jordan, the anger that he had prior to that, and then listening to his servants and dipping seven times and rising up cured with his skin like a baby child's skin, that Naaman realized there was only one God that had power to do what he needed done. We have a nation that believes that there is many. And the way that we can establish is to, you know, I think about this, I wonder if Elisha thought about Elijah going up against the prophets of Baal. I mean, there's not no doubt in my mind that Elijah and Elisha had talked about the day that he prayed fire down, and God sent fire and it consumed the offering and licked up the water, and that day that 450 of Baal's prophets died. And y'all remember that story where Elijah taunted them and he said, hey, maybe your God is asleep. Maybe he's on a journey, and maybe he's busy doing something else. And then God calls on the God of Israel, the God Jehovah God, one time, and God answered immediately. Amen. I believe that Elisha had the confidence in that God when he told Naaman, I want you to go dip seven times. Elisha already knew what God was going to do. God did it, and a pagan individual who did not believe in our God comes out of that thing saying, now I believe in the one true God, the God of Israel. Thank God for God. Thank God for Him, amen, and who He is. And so verse number 15, he's confessing him, he's humble, he has gratitude in his heart now, and with that humility, with that confession, with that gratitude comes the desire to reward. You ever done somebody right, done a good thing for them, and they say, hey, I'll tell you what I'll do. Maybe they give you a little bit, maybe you agreed on a price, you've done such a good job, they give you a little bit more. Now, that's only happened to me once or twice. I remember one time I was working at a place that cleaned out air ducts. And we went in this great big old house somewhere over there in Atlanta. And I remember meeting, we were there. We got there like 7 o'clock in the morning. And we were there till 7, 8 o'clock at night. We were cleaning duct work in this big old house and going all over the place. And at the end of the day, we'd packed everything up. We'd left everything nice and clean and smelling good. And the owner of the house come out and he's talking to us. And we were standing there on his doorstep, and the man reaches in his pocket and he pulled out two $50 bills. And it's me and one other guy. And he handed me a $50 bill. And he handed the other guy a $50 bill. And he said, you guys go get you a nice dinner tonight. And I thought, dinner? Brother, you just bought my lunch for the week. Amen? Somebody say amen right there. And I remember being so excited, you know, and how good that made me feel. But because we had done what we were supposed to do. And this man rewarded us greatly. And here is God rewarding this man Naaman for simply being obedient and doing what the prophet had told him to do. And Elisha, instead of taking Naaman's gifts, he does something that's almost offensive. Matter of fact, a couple of weeks ago, I preached from this pulpit about not refusing when someone gives y'all a gift. Y'all remember that? Here's the reason. I believe that God puts people in our lives to give us a blessing, but in this particular time, Elisha refuses the blessing, if you will, and Elisha had a good reason. What could his reason be? Didn't he need the money? Absolutely. Elisha was not a wealthy man, and you'll find other places in Scripture where he took gifts from other people. So he didn't think it was unlawful. He didn't think it was ungodly for him to take a gift. So why didn't he take a gift? Because he wanted God to get all the glory and not him. Could you imagine if Naaman had given him over that gift and after he had simply... Now, Elisha was just as much a tool of God's service as Naaman was. He was just as much as a piece of clay that was being used for God's service. And so the one that was worthy of the gift, the one that was worthy of the blessing was God, not Elisha. And so Elisha wanted to show that what God had done needed to go to God, not to Elisha. Y'all right? I'm going to tell you, I think there's some great, we talk about spiritual discernment a lot. You hear that. And I want to tell you one of the greatest ways that you can spiritually discern something is whether or not what's coming brings you glory or brings God glory. If Elisha would have took the suit of clothes that he had, it wouldn't have done anything for the reputation of God. It made Elijah look a whole lot better. All right, don't throw nothing at me now. You mean God don't want me in and out? No, I'm not saying that God don't want you in looking nice and being clean and decent. I'm not telling you that at all. I'm simply saying that Elisha knew that in this particular case, that if he took that from Naaman, that this Syrian man who did not know God, did not understand God, would attribute the healing that took place to the gift that was given and not the obedience to the Word of God. There's nothing wrong with giving gifts. There's nothing wrong with receiving gifts. But if you give me a gift and then you tag me with, hey, and how about if I give you this, you don't preach about this sin? I'm going to hand it back to you. Amen. 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 I remember one time I had a funeral to do and a young man had been killed in a car accident and I had to speak at the funeral, and the young man did not have a godly or a Christian testimony at all. That's an interesting service to get to preach at. And I remember the dad came up to me prior to the service, about 10 minutes before the service time, and he said, Pastor Agin, I'm glad that you're here. I want to talk to you for a minute. And he took me off to the side, and he said, look, when you get up there this afternoon, I don't want you to say nothing about repentance. I don't even want you to use that word. And he said, when you get up there, I don't really even care if you talk about Jesus, but I don't want you to call out anybody's sins. I was standing there in that little funeral home, and my blood was boiling because I'm a preacher. And there's a fire shut up in my bones. And so I let him go through his whole spiel. And when he got done, I looked at him and I said, you need to call another preacher to come preach your son's funeral because obviously you think I'm under your control. He said, well, we can't stop. We're right here at it. And I said, you or no one else gets to tell me what I'm going to preach. We leave that up to the Lord. Man, I preached salvation full and free, There was about 10 hands went up at the end of the service. There's people come and visited our church after, not here, it was at a different church. There's people come and visited our church the week after and stayed for years after. And people that got right, had a cousin in there that never heard me preach the gospel, got to preach the gospel to him. Listen, friend, we don't do things to glorify men or to allow them to think that they control us. We do things that glorifies God and exalts God. And in this example with Elisha, Elisha knew that if he received that gift, that Naaman would equate that to his goodness to the man of God and not to what God had done for Naaman. The reason that he didn't take it was because he wanted God to have all the glory and not himself. And so he goes on. And keep in mind that this Syrian man did not fully understand everything there was to know about God. And so he's learning. And he asks in verse number 17, Elisha, for something that's kind of unusual. He asked him for 2 mules burdens worth of Israeli dirt. That's what I did first time I realized that, Brother David. I got tickled. He thought that if he had a little piece of where the event took place, that he could worship God better. But the God that we serve and the God that Elisha serves owns the cattle of 1,000 hills. And he owns the dirt that the cattle are standing on. And it doesn't matter where you are over the earth. You can bow down and worship this God. He wanted 2 mule burdens worth of dirt. What about that? Can you imagine that? All right, preacher, you won't take a gift? That's fine with me. I want you to get you some men together and some shovels. And I want you to load me up some dirt from this place that we're standing, and I'm going to take it back with me. Years ago, me and Miss Tara went to Costa Rica, and we had a Coca-Cola bottle. You still got that bottle? That's what I thought. Thank you. You just helped me. And we were down there on the beach, and the beach had pretty sand. And I told her, I said, I'm going to fill this bottle up with sand. We're going to take it home with us. I don't know how we got through customs with it, but we did. And we brought that dirt home from Costa Rica. And it sat on our fireplace, on our mantle for a long time. And man, I thought at the time, man, it's something, you know, it's a piece of Costa Rica, you know. It's a piece of another country. Now here we are. Gosh, I guess that was 20 years ago. And she done throwed it away. Somebody's got some Costa Rican dirt. Somebody in Goodwill's got some Costa Rican dirt. I know what you did with it, amen. That went to the Goodwill. In that little Spanish bottle of Coca-Cola. And somebody got some good Costa Rican dirt. But I thought that if I took that dirt with me, that I'd always have me a little piece. And I'd always have the memory of that vacation time and that special time that we shared down there and that good trip that we had. And I didn't take into consideration that the dirt didn't mean anything. It's the memories. It's what's up here and what's in here. It's not what's down there. Now, I don't know if Elisha let him take any dirt or not, but I know that he asked for dirt. And he said, I won't even do any burnt offerings or sacrifice to any other gods but unto the Lord. Naaman needed some discipleship, y'all. He needed to be taught about what was good and what he needed to do. And dirt wasn't the answer. That dirt would have just became another pile of dirt. He'd have got home, and as soon as he threw that dirt into the dirt, it would have been dirt. Uh-huh. That's what I know about dirt. Now, some dirt is black, some dirt's red, some dirt is dust. But once you take it and you put it together with other dirt, it's dirt. and you can't distinguish the difference in it. Thank God that Elisha knew that, that no matter what kind of relics he tried to bring with him, no matter what kind of things he tried to bow down to, those things weren't what he was supposed to worship or what he was supposed to worship on. He was just supposed to worship the Lord. One last thing here. I mentioned a little while ago, verse number 18, that in this thing the Lord pardoned thy servant. He knew he was wrong what he was asking. God had already begun to work on his heart after he saw that the man of God wouldn't take the gifts and wouldn't give him any dirt. Cruelty. And he says, in this thing the Lord pardoned thy servant. When I go back to my master, goeth in the house of Rimmon. His master was the king of Syria. Rimmon was a god. He says, when my master goes in the house of Rimmon to worship there, and he leaneth on my hand, and I bow myself in the house of Rimmon, when I bow down myself in the house of Rimmon, the Lord pardon thy servant in this thing. He already knew that he wasn't heading in the right direction. I'm going to say this. There's a reason why we only read about Naaman one other time in the Word of God. He got healed, but he didn't go much further than that. He got what he needed, but he didn't learn much more. You all right? And he said unto him, go in peace. So he departed from him a little way. He started walking off. Now I'm going to go ahead and cover it tonight. That way I won't have to worry about it next Sunday night. But Gehazi followed him. Or Gehazi, however you want to say it. And he went up to him and he said, hey, my master sent me to tell you that he changed his mind. He does want some of that nice raiment. Naaman gave it to him. And as Gehazi come back to the door of Elisha, Elisha said, where'd you go? He lied to Elisha. And Elisha said, Naaman's leprosy is going to fall on you. All because of greediness, that servant ended up being a leper the rest of his life. It ain't worth it. It ain't worth it. You might see somebody offer something to somebody else and you think, well, I'll go down there and get it. It might carry a whole lot more consequences than what you're ready to take on. And it might have something attached to it that you're not prepared for. I believe I'm done. I hope that it's been helpful to you, and I hope it's been a blessing to you. I know our children's church are going, he's what? He's done? He's usually just now starting to preach by now. There are times in our lives that we can apply the lessons from Naaman. And I believe one of those times is being careful about the gifts that we receive, because some gifts have a clause attached to them.
You're right.
By definition, a gift is something you give to someone, and once you give it to them, it's theirs. But some people attach strings to them. And Elisha knew that Naaman would attach a string to this gift, and it would appear that Elisha did it and not God. So he solved that problem. I don't rightly know how to end. I tell you what, I typically would have a song of invitation, but I think we'll just end like we do on a Wednesday night. We'll pray and be dismissed. We do need to take up offering. Amen. We'll get in trouble for not taking up offering.